I have always been into hair. It's been something that's stuck with me for my entire life. Hair by Tamari was kind of birthed in college. That was what I became known as a stylist. In 2019, I actually opened Fab Hair International Salon. His inspiration put me to where I can use my art as a hairstylist, but I can also run it successfully as a business.
Welcome to the Paisa Noel Show, Season 3, Finding, Pursuing, and Keeping Passion Alive. Enjoy.
Hi, my Paisa Noel Show Passion Propellers and Bold Beauties. Today, I have a special friend of mine from college. When I moved here from North Carolina, like years ago, she was one of my first friends. I have Tamari from Fab Hair International. Hi, Tamari.
Hi, Paisa. So good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. Like I said, I've known her since college, and I was fresh off the boat, I always say, from Charlotte, and she just really took me in and really helped me. And from the beginning, she's always helped me with my hair. So now we're whooping it back around, and I go to her, she keeps me together. So I just really wanted to have her on this show because I've known her passion since college, and I'm just super excited because she has her own brand and her own shop. I just love it. So I just wanted her to talk about this passion. Thank you, Tamari.
Thank you. I'm super excited.
So, of course, we're talking all things passion here, and we're talking about pursuing and including passion in our life. With that being said, Tamari, what's the passion that you've always kept alive in your life? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Actually, hair, funny enough. I didn't realize it when I was a kid, but I have always been into hair. I was the kid who at 8 years old, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with my hair every time we went to the salon. I remember at 8 years old for Easter one year, I sat in the stylist chair and I said, okay, I want a French roll here and I want a piece hanging here and I need some hair down in the back, but I'm gonna need a track because my hair is relaxed and it's not thick and I need a track here. And then the stylist looking at my mom like, why is this little girl talking about tracks at 8? And second of all, like, how does she even know any of this? And my mom was like, oh, she already told me that's what she wanted. And I told her, yeah. And the stylist was like, okay, sure. And then I was always styling my doll's hair. Like, my mom got tired of buying me Barbies and dolls because she was like, I'm not buying you anymore. Stop cutting your doll's hair off. All of them had a different haircut. So it's just, I didn't realize it growing up. I didn't know it was the thing that I was apparently meant to do, but it's been something that's stuck with me for my entire life.
Oh my gosh. How you know about that French roll back then? You were young.
I know fashion and like hair and stuff like that has always been a thing for me. When I actually went to college, I wanted to major in fashion design, but Long Beach State, that's a whole another story. The major was too crowded. But hairstyling, it was something I did when I was in college. And I don't know how I knew that at 8. I think I used to like sit there when I used to go to the salon with my mom. I always liked being in the salon. And I think I used to sit there and like read all the little black hair magazines and all that stuff. So I'd be like, oh, that's cute. Oh, I like that. And I'd be putting two and three styles together.
Oh
So
my God.
also part of why I'm a stylist now. Mom couldn't do hair when I was a kid, so she was constantly breaking my hair off.
You talked about college and I talked about college. So what did you end up majoring in?
I did start as a fashion design major. It was just, I was going to be in college forever trying to do that. So I actually ended up majoring in Pan-African Studies. And not for any other reason than that was the second major that I had the most classes in. So I was just trying to finish because I knew I wanted to do hair.
What did you say? It's called Pan.
Pan-African Studies. So it's basically, it used to be called Black Studies and then it's like it became Pan-African Studies. So basically, study of sociology, economics, psychology, like all these things, culture across African cultures. So from Africa to Black people here in the States to sometimes Caribbean thing and the way all those things tie in together.
Oh, that's cool. Did you enjoy it though?
I did actually. And it's something I feel like, even though it's not a major where I'm like, oh yeah, unless I wanted to become like a professor or something like that, or write a book that I'm like, oh, I could really do something specifically with a Pan-African Studies major. But I feel like it does, to a certain extent, also help me understand certain things, even in my line of business. And probably because hair is such a big thing for Black women, Black people as a whole, but especially for Black women. So I think me having certain understandings of cultural things and how economics and socioeconomics affects how we deal with our hair, all those things helped me get to where I am now. So
when did you actually open Fab Hair, Hair by Tamari? I call it a little bit everything. When did you open and what was like that process like?
Hair by Tamari has been around for quite some years. Actually, Hair by Tamari was kind of birthed in college. I may have braided your hair. I think I did braid your hair a couple times in college, if
a
I
lot.
Remember right.
You helped me
yeah.
A lot.
So
yes.
Yes. So that was where Hair by Tamari started. So that was what I became known as a stylist, because I've been doing hair for what, 21 years now. In 2019, I actually opened Fab Hair International Salon, which was from years of work, about 18 years of working as a stylist prior to getting there. It was a hard process. It was hard because it kind of was birthed out of something that wasn't that great to start off with. So I'd been saving up for my salon, but I wasn't quite there financially, right? And unfortunately, my dad passed away in 2018. And my dad always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So that was one thing about him, but he got sick before he got to really realize his dream of that. So it kind of fueled me to want to like push harder to get there. And then because of some of those things, I did end up getting the rest of the money I needed to open my salon. So that made it possible for me to do that. So as much as it was a sad thing, my dad passing away, it also gave me kind of that push. And I think it was almost like his way of like kind of smiling down on me and being like, you're ready, let's go. So that came about in 2019. I opened officially to the public in about end of June, beginning of July 2019. And then in 2020, we all got shut down with the pandemic. So during 2019, I had started playing around with making products and just like a couple of little maintenance products, a growth oil and a leave-in conditioning spray for my clients, because I had a lot of natural hair clients and lock clients. So I started playing around with that. And in 2020, while we were shut down, I was kind of at first going through like, okay, well, what can I do so my clients can still do their hair at home and still, you know, make it work? And I was getting all kind of calls like, well, what products should I use? And okay, well, I don't know what to do. And all those things that I'm sure most, especially Black women, went through, because if you're over the age of 30, you probably spend a lot of time getting your hair done in salon as growing up as a child on up, right? And most of my clients are in that age bracket of 30 and over. So that actually prompted me to kind of perfect and expand on Fab Hair International products, which has now become a full hair care brand specifically for people with curly, coily, and locked hair.
Your products are all natural ingredients, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big thing for me for a couple of reasons. One, because for myself and for a few of my other clients, I know we've used products in the past that, while I don't know the science and I know there's studies, there's no definitive proof of what causes certain things, I know that certain ingredients are linked to hormonal cancers, things like that, especially in Black women. Again, I don't know definitively what that is, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to try and act like I am, but it was really important for me to just make sure I was using ingredients that people knew what they were, number one, but two, that weren't going to cause any harm to people as they're using them. So you can use them often and they're going to be effective without you having to worry about, well, if I keep using this down the line, is this paraben going to cause me any health issues later on?
Mm-hmm. I also had something to say about, you were talking about your father. So I always feel like when a parent passes away, it always seems to birth something, you know. My mom passing away helped me birth this. You talked about how him passing away helped you birth Fab Hair and get your shop. And it seems like they have this like last blessing of like, here you go, or in that last push.
That's exactly how it felt. He was tired, and I'm sure, you know, he'd been sick for like 17 years at that point. But it was almost like a, okay, well, I'm ready to rest, but here you go. And it literally did feel like he was kind of like, you're ready now, go ahead.
Yeah. Was he a big inspiration in your life?
He really was. I think me being a business person came from my dad, because my dad wanted to be an entrepreneur, but he was also a money guy. He was a CPA and accountant. when I was coming up. So he was always teaching me how to manage money. He had me helping to balance the checkbook when I was a kid. Like, I was like 12 years old doing his expense reports for his job. And I'm like, why are you having me do this stuff? But knowing what I know now, these were all things that I needed to learn, because I needed to learn how to manage books and to understand money and how to understand profit and loss and all of those fun things. Well, not so fun things that go into running a business. So I'm thankful that he did teach me all of that. Me and my dad both were really good at math. We usually bonded over that, over like us understanding math real well. So I think his inspiration really kind of put me to where I can use my art as a hairstylist, but I can also run it successfully as a business.
Yes. Another question I have is, you may have already mentioned it, but can you specifically talk about your biggest challenge within this passion of hair?
Ooh, the biggest challenge, because there's been quite a few.
Or just one that sticks out the most.
Biggest challenge, I would say, especially over this last year or so, because now the salons are back open. I'm also now running a hair care brand, is finding enough time to be able to fit both. Because while they're both connected businesses, they both also require a lot of individual attention that doesn't really connect. One of the biggest struggles was trying to figure out how to stand behind the chair 12 hours a day and also still get all the administrative stuff and the behind the scenes stuff done that goes along with running a product line. I had to learn that, first of all, help is, you can't do everything alone. That was probably the major lesson that I learned, and something that I've always struggled with, because I'm the oldest of three kids. So I'm very independent. I've always been very like, oh, I got it, I'll handle it, no worries, and pick it up and run with it. And we all only get 24 hours in a day, right? So as much as I would love to be able to handle everything myself, you get a lot more done and it's a lot more efficient. And actually it gets done a lot better when you allow people to help you. So I have since learned and hired an assistant. I have other independent contractors I work with who do other complementary businesses that can help mine. So like people who help run social media and things like that, accountants, things like that, just so I'm not trying to put all of that stuff on my plate, because that's 12 hours a day already with one thing is enough for anybody, I think. So I'm not spending 20 hours a day working, because at some point we all have to sleep.
Yes. Yeah, I love that you said that it's okay to get help. I'm somebody that's really challenged in that area too. Mm. I mean, a lot of stuff I like to do by myself, but I would say for people listening and people that want to do something like Tamari, that's one good pointer to remember, that it's okay to get help. And I'm assuming that you agree that it's worth the money too, and worth investing in help so you can live comfortably.
Absolutely. I think that was always kind of one of my fears before doing that, was, oh, it's going to cost me so much money to hire somebody to do this and hire somebody to do that. I'd just rather do it myself. But people don't realize time is also a currency, right? So I can make more money, I can't make more time. Again, we all only have the same 24 hours in a day. So me learning to pay people to do things, social media is not my strong suit, right? So me paying somebody who that is what they're good at actually helps me to be more efficient and make more money that way, like for the products, than me trying to do it myself. Because there was always something that was falling through the cracks when I was trying to do it myself. So sometimes it's like we're looking at what we're going to lose, and sometimes you forget about what you actually gain. And I actually became more successful, and it freed me up to spend more time on the things that I am good at, and also to have more of a personal life too, because that's also important, having balance when you own a business, or whether it's work, or you know, whether you run your own business or whether you work for somebody else. I think having a good work-life balance is really important as well. That's also something that the pandemic taught me. That was important, because I used to work myself to death prior to.
Oh man, so many gems in what you said. That helped me. I needed to hear that. So
oh, thank you.
And especially To be honest, when you first said that you have people and you started naming all this stuff, my first thing was, that's a lot of money, you know? But like you said, it's about what you gain and it's worth it. So is there any other passion that you want to discuss?
As you probably know, which we shared in college, I used to dance. So dance was a big thing for me coming up. I danced from being a little girl. So that was a big thing. I haven't danced as much in the last couple of years. I actually used to keep up with dance classes up until pre-pandemic, just because when gyms and dance studios and a lot of stuff closed, I kind of drifted away from that a little bit. And I find myself like, oh, I want to go back to a dance class because I missed that. But also now time constraints.
Yes.
one day I'm going to have time to get back to dancing on a regular basis.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. One thing I did like and notice is that you always kept some kind of workout or something that was connected with dance. I do always remember your African dance. I used to love that.
I forgot I did that. I forgot I was an African dance company. Oh my gosh. Yeah. In college.
I didn't know that.
Actually, Ebony and I were two of the founding members, and we started it from the African dance class we took in college. So we were taking African dance, and us and about five other friends, we all got together. We kept getting asked to perform at different cultural events at Cal State Long Beach. And so we ended up creating a company. So we actually got paid to do a lot of our performances after a while, because I'm good for all. I love something, I will turn it into a business like that. I'll be like, you know what? We can't do this for free. We got to get paid.
So yes.
I was like, let's find out how we can get paid for this. And we should start, get our own bank account. We can have this and that. We used to have meetings and everything. We loved it. It was a lot of fun when we did have it going.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I hope to see in the future that you tap back into that dancing, because, you know, that's what we're talking about, is keeping those passions in our life. But you already are making room for personal life, like you said. So I can't wait to see that part back in there. And I got to get in there too. So, and also y'all, she mentioned somebody named Ebony, and she used to do her hair too. She still does her hair. So like, it was just like a forever connection. And I just love how we're still all connected, all divinely connected.
I enjoy it. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm so thankful that I have people like you who I have known for so many years. And even outside of that, who came back around, like when I opened my salon and stuff like that. That means a lot to me to know people I've known really like see what I do and appreciate it. So thank you as well, because you have no idea how much that means.
Yeah, and I love it. And you professional, and yeah, it's just great. It's the bomb. I'm like, see, this is what I'm talking about. Professional and easy to just follow everything. So I appreciate it. So to wrap it all up, do you have any like final words or any advice for anybody that wants to be a stylist?
Advice for anyone who wants to be a stylist. Being an artist is great. And a lot of us are really good at what we do with hair, whether you like to do wigs or natural hair or whatever you like to do. But finding somebody who can be your mentor in the industry is important, because this industry changes pace and changes direction so often that having somebody who has been through it already and who has made the mistakes and seen the ups and downs of like when the economy goes up and down and all those things that actually affect it, having that person is really important, because it really helps you figure out how to muscle through it and power through some of those things when you're struggling. I know I had one. I started off as an assistant when I was coming up. In fact, I think I was an assistant a couple of times when I first started doing hair when I was in college, and then also right after I got my license. And that made all the difference. I think it's also part of what helps make me successful. And as far as passion, the biggest thing I will say is, if you are passionate about something, find a way to stick with it. Your passion doesn't always have to be your profession, because I think a lot of people mistake that because they're passionate about something, that has to be their profession. Sometimes your passion is just what fuels you to keep going through the day. And maybe your 9-to-5 job, even though it's not what you're passionate about, is what gives you the means to do your passion. So whether it's dance, whether it's building things, whether it's art, whatever it may be, I think just finding a way to make your passion work for you, whether it's as a profession or whether it's just your outlet to be free and express yourself, I think that's really important.
Such good information. And, you know, when you talked about that, it made me think, Do you also feel like not everybody has to have their own shop? And do you think some people are happier just maybe going to a shop and having a chair versus doing the business? Because it
Absolutely.
seems like it's two different types of jobs.
I know a lot of stylists that have mentored me over the years, and also stylists that I know now who have done both. And I know stylists who have owned their own salon, and they've decided, maybe since the pandemic or even for other reasons, chosen not to own their own salon. And I get it because it takes a lot of the fun out of doing hair if you're having to be a business owner. And I think nowadays we're on this push of everybody needs to be an entrepreneur, everybody needs to run their own business. And sometimes it works better for some people. Some people don't have that business sense, or some people don't want to do what it takes or have the time to do what it takes to want to run a business. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if it works better for you to work in somebody else's salon or any business for that matter, do that, please. Because I have seen salon owners who are horrible at running a business and should be working in somebody else's salon. Quite frankly, I've worked in some of their salons over the years, and it's not for everyone. It really isn't.
Well, I'm glad it's for you. I really love being there. It's the cutest shop. Like, I don't know if I should call it cute because I don't know. Some people don't like that, but I love the colors and stuff.
I actually like cute. I think cute
Okay.
fits because it's not huge. It's just big enough that it's quaint, it's quiet, it's cute on
Yes.
purpose. So yeah, I think that's a perfect description for it. Thank you.
Yeah, I just said mainly cute because I like the pink and the black. So that's what I was like, oh,
Yeah,
that
I
is
was
cute.
thinking, I was like, the pink in my salon actually matches your backdrop. I was just thinking about that. I was like,
Yeah.
and it looks like my couch in the salon.
Yeah, we almost were going to be matching all the way with the green and the pink, but you know.
If I would have done this in the salon like I thought about doing, we would have been matching.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for your time and your awesome words. You're such an inspiration, and I'm super proud of you. I'm super happy that we crossed paths, and thanks for just helping a sister from scratch, you know? A sister that didn't have no car. I couldn't get to Target. Like,
Girl,
I was
you are
crazy talking about the
so
hip, dip, and roll, and you still let me
welcome.
come around with you.
My family absolutely loves you. So my mom still, I mean, she's, I think she saw you in the salon a few months ago, but she would still ask about you. Do you still talk to Paisa? How's she doing? So you are so welcome. I am so happy to have met you. And you never know when you meet people who's going to be in your life long term. And I know we kind of like drifted apart, and we had our own life things going on, not for any reason, just life. But I'm glad we reconnected and that we get to sit here and also do this, because this is
Yes.
awesome that you have this platform.
Yes, I'm so excited to put it out. And I just like to work together. Tell us where to follow you, and then we're going to head on out.
All right, so you can follow me personally on Instagram at Hair by Tamari, and then you can also follow my Fab Hair International brand on Instagram and on TikTok. Both of those are Fab Hair INT. So INT is in international.
Yes. And then if we just Google Hair by Tamari, we can find everything too, right?
Yes, if you Google Fab Hair International or Hair by Tamari, you will find me both of those places. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and thank you, Tamari, and have a blessed one. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Paisa Noel Show, hashtag PNS. If you feel in this, then make sure you subscribe on YouTube and on this podcast. And if you're really feeling this, then hook a sister up with a fantastic rating and review. All right, thank you all, and remember to always find that laugh. Bye.